This is Ken Lubin, the host and founder of the Executive Athletes Podcast, and welcome to this week's episode. I want to thank everyone that's been listening and thank you for the comments and feedback. They are awesome and super helpful in this journey to making this podcast better and better each episode. Once again, this is unscripted and unedited, as I believe it's the best way to get to really know the guest. This week's guest is Doug Smith. Doug is an author of one of the hottest business topics on the planet. But let's first talk about his background. At 17, Doug was awarded the Ontario Hockey League's top award for academic achievement. And at 18, Doug was drafted second pick overall into the NHL, the National Hockey League. Doug would play his first year for the Los Angeles Kings as their youngest player ever. In professional hockey game number 607, at the age 29, Doug went full speed, head first into the end boards and shattering his fifth and sixth clavicle vertebrae in his neck. He would later wake up in the ICU, a quadriplegic, no arms, no legs, no bladder, or no bowels. Doug has since recovered from that and we'll chat. Doug has also addressed sold out audiences of thousands of attendees at the Casino de Lac Lamé, National Museum of History, and has done over 500 radio and television appearances, including starring in the movie Becoming the Keys, which premiered in January 2019, which we'll chat about too. Doug's book has been a game-changing book, though, called The Trauma Code. And he has another book called Thriving in Transition. And they capture the essence of what you can do to make it to the top, reach your stardom, or finding lasting happiness. Doug is presenting a systematic approach to improving mental performance, lowering emotional trauma in the workplace, and leveraging workplace culture. Today, Doug's literary work and seminar series presents and teaches an approach to emotional trauma that any individual, team, or organization can use to protect, build, and maintain extremely high levels of human performance. So, Doug, it's great to have you on the show. You are a walking, talking miracle and machine. So, you know, you're doing some next-gen stuff. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm chasing this stuff down, Tim, because I need it myself, right? So I'm in pursuit of a better path, because when I was paralyzed, when I hit the boards at about 25 miles an hour head first, a lot of things happened. You know, there was a bright light, and that was really the beginning of the system that I present today. And the reason I have the system is because I was forced to use nothing but my thoughts. I lost my physical ability in an instant, and I had always only been seen as a physical entity, and then all of a sudden I had nothing but my thoughts, and I had to use those thoughts to, you know, recover both physically and emotionally. The physical part, I tell my audience today, is the easy. The experience I had breaking my neck, you know, it paled in comparison to the cumulative emotional trauma I suffered as an 18-year-old. 18 years, 2 weeks old, I was property of the Los Angeles Kings.
That's amazing. So you went through this injury, right? And, you know, I know a little bit about the story, but you said the only thing you had were your thoughts. How did that pull you through your recovery?
What I saw when I hit the boards was like one of those flip books you flip through that's a picture book and it makes a movie. And I could see all the times. It wasn't all the good times, the goals I scored. It was the times where I had treated people badly or ignored people or been arrogant. And right there on the ice, I realized that if I got out of this situation, if I survived, because I knew it was bad. When you hit the boards going 22 miles an hour head first, you know it's bad. And so I made a commitment that I would that I would do better. You know, and I've since learned that it's not about being the best in the world, right? That'll never find you happiness. I reached the pinnacle of that world, and it never found me happiness. It's about being the best for the world. And it's a very subtle shift. But when you make that shift in your brain, it changes everything. It changes your philosophy, which, of course, dictates your attitude.
I love that, being the best for the world instead of being the best in the world. Talk to us about that. You know, go a little bit deeper about that.
Well, my system is based on that. So my system is based on the three priorities of our subconscious brain, because that's what we need to leverage for high performance, right? But it also works to help us get better. So if you're sick mentally, physically, it doesn't matter. If you leverage your subconscious brain, you leverage 95% of your human functioning. So if you're only trying to leverage your conscious thought, that's 5%. So there's actually a diminishing return. So I show people how to leverage their subconscious brain. And here's how it works. Let me explain it. So trauma is my expertise. So we all suffer from trauma. I can prove it to you. It'll only take a minute. But there are only four types of trauma that exist. And the first three we can see. The last one's invisible. So the first one is catastrophic physical trauma. The second one is catastrophic emotional trauma. The third one is cumulative physical trauma. We see the symptoms, but sometimes it's too late. And then the last one is cumulative emotional trauma, and it looks like carbon monoxide to the brain. So what we're able to establish today in the neuroscience community is that these things, this trauma can be seen if you know the symptoms. So we demonstrate what the symptoms of cumulative emotional trauma are, and then we're able to present a solution to those to the cumulative emotional trauma, which is really the ticking time bomb in the workforce. So this is how we do it. We look at what are the priorities of the subconscious brain. And there are only three. So meeting basic needs, not Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's well beyond that. He based his model on rational thought. We're an irrational species. So it doesn't work, but you can expand it into self-actualization. Number two, clarity of thought. The scientific evidence is off the charts, right? It's piling up in universities. It's like mindfulness at the University of Massachusetts, MBSR training. You know, clarity of thought, we have to pursue that. The subconscious brain, you're an 800-pound gorilla, wants to pursue that. And the third priority of the subconscious brain, and this one ties right into the behaviors that feed these priorities, the third priority of the subconscious brain is helping other people. We as a species thrive on helping other people. We're designed to perform better by working together. There are these things called mirror neurons. You know, if you trust me, Ken, and I trust you, we can rapidly internalize each other's belief in one. And so we're able to expand now through helping others from two people in human resources in the workforce, and we can expand them to six. So it's like tripling your workforce without adding a dime of cost when you learn how to work with helping other people. And then those three priorities sit there as a beacon, right? For you in healing and for you in performance. And then what you do is you look at the eight behaviors, specifically eight behaviors, which are attached to actions that we do on a daily basis. So this methodology doesn't take any time, because, and I can explain the details if you want to reach out to me, but here are the eight behaviors. Number one, belief in self. Number two, motivation. Number three, focus. Number four, trust. Number five, awareness. Number six, emotional control. Number seven, asking for help. And number eight, purpose. You see, these emotional control and asking for help things, those were conditioned out of me at 6 years old. I was conditioned to knock you down, intimidate you, and take what you have. And then my career ended, and I didn't know how to behave in any other way because I couldn't control my emotions. I was diagnosed with ADHD as a child, and my mom took me to meditation. So that saved my life during my crisis. So I hope that helps, Ken. Like I can break down the behaviors, and what I do for my audience is I break down the behaviors into the very specific actions they can do without using any of their time during the day. And it completely transforms the way that we function, both mentally and physically. So that's my world today. I live in the world of neuroscience, artificial intelligence, and to tell you the truth, I study, and I'm working with the leaders in Canada on cannabis.
So I love the fact of that third component you're talking about helping others, right? That none of us are really, you know, we're always ingrained of me, 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 I. And I think that's what our school system teaches. I think that's what definitely our workplace culture teaches, right? Is that, and you don't feel that sense of that you're actually going out there to help other people, right? And I think that's what makes, you know, some people super special people that do it. And I think, like you said, if you had that mindset, think of what you could do.
Wow, it's so cool, and it's so simple. Belief in self, belief in others, and belief in the organization. do good for the world, have fun, make money, but in that order only. When what we teach at the front of the room transforms people instantly because we show them a reflection of themselves, right? We get people to agree that, you know, trauma is systemic. We all suffer from it. I can prove it. It's so easy to prove. And so once people agree that they suffer from trauma, it's a lot easier for them to open up. And opening up is the driver for innovation. And if you think we're in the age of automation right now, if you actually believe we're in the age of automation, you're going backwards as an organization. We have moved way past automation. We're in the age of innovation, and we can demonstrate that through steam and through the advent of electricity. This is a physics model that we present. We're not debating anymore. What we're doing is we're teaching at universities. We're teaching the military right now at the highest levels. We're teaching the international banking system, the Bank of Canada, Industry Canada. We are shifting as a country here, and the rest of the world is jumping on board to this philosophy.
So, Doug, say you walk into an organization and say, hey, you know, help come transform us. What would you do? What would be the first things that you would do to your audience of 30 people?
The whole process is simple. It's awareness, assessment, performance. You can't push the performance throttle down unless you've done a proper assessment. So how do you do the assessment? Well, you take 360s out of it because there's intimidation at the table, and you present a model with an algorithm that does a bottom-up anonymous assessment of what leadership's doing, and then you teach people how to lead knowledge workers. It's really, really simple. This is not complicated. The data to support it is from 35 years of IT data turning around IT projects. I have that data on my computer. We show people the graphs that and they look at them and they go, oh my God, I'm burying myself. And the answer is yes. A lot of people are burying themselves right now because they don't understand that the biggest competitive advantage they have is the culture in their organization, bar none.
Right, right. And how is the, you know, how do you shift the culture? I think what's more important, shifting the people or shifting the culture?
If you shift the people and then you wait and shift the culture, you'll destroy your people. So people are destroyed by the culture. They come in enthusiastic and the culture destroys them. So yeah, you can use system 438 and get yourself all hyped up and go into to a government job that's not being managed properly, and you'll be traumatized just the same. I can't protect you because you become what you're around, right? And so the idea today is to work with the space in between people to make it comfortable, but to lose the legacy of success, which is believing that, you know, if you were a leader 25 years ago, that the way you led is the way that people should be led today. Because if you do that, you're destroying our future.
Right, right. That's unbelievable. You know, it's truly innovative of what you're doing. Talk to us about, you know, we've chatted, like I said before, you know, you have patents around this stuff. Talk to us a bit about that too, you know, and the technology behind it.
I'm not at liberty to talk about patents in the neuroscience arena or in the cannabis arena, but I am at the table. We are embarking on certain studies that relate both to neuroscience and cannabis, but also relating to neuroscience, cannabis, and the driving industry, right? You know, for police services to be able to monitor this stuff. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good things this does on the medical side, but we also want to know how to measure it and manage it because, you know, that's we're in the Wild West up here when it comes to that, and I intend to do it right. And we have the top scientists, geneticists, universities in the world working on this with us right now.
And what about the cannabis piece?
Well, it's an alternative. It's not a, you know, what do you do, right? I mean, it's a completely different thing than opioids, right? So right now people have one option, you know, on the PTSD front, on injury front, you have one option, opioids. Right. And so what cannabis offers is it offers a different treatment program. That's all. You want the opioid treatment or the cannabis treatment? You know, you pick. I mean, here's all the information on both. Here's the damage one does. Here's the damage the other does. You know, here are the results one gives. Here are the results the other gives. And in the future, we'll literally match the genetics of your body to the strain of cannabis that fixes the issue that you're dealing with, but without the properties that send you to the street and allow you to die on the street.
So are you pro cannabis or con cannabis?
Oh no, I'm pro option.
Right. Okay.
You know, to me, it's just options, right?
Right.
The only reason people commit suicide is because they're left with one option.
Yep.
You know, you have to, as a patient, judge what you're putting in your body. That's totally up to you. I'm not standing at the front of the room saying, do this or do that. I'm saying, I'm going to work to help people. Helping other people is a priority of the subconscious brain. And if I deem this is a good way to help people by providing a massive option for the healthcare system. Though the pharmaceutical industry probably doesn't like to hear conversations like this. You know, am I going to help that develop? Yes, of course. I've seen the results. The results are staggering. I've seen the data. It's if I showed you the data right now, I would change every one of your listeners.
What? So talk to us about the subconscious mind and tapping into that. How do you really tap into that? You know, obviously you did it when you're there, not being able to move your limbs. Talk to us about tapping into the subconscious, where the magic happens.
If you bend over and pick up a piece of garbage that somebody else dropped and put it in the garbage can, then you're tapping into your subconscious brain.
Okay.
If you hold a door for somebody, you're tapping into your subconscious brain. If you tell your child that they're doing well and that they can do it, then you're tapping into their subconscious brain. So you can move this around, right? If you live by these priorities, you know, your subconscious brain, you'll put a harness on an 800-pound gorilla, and everybody knows where an 800-pound gorilla sits when it comes in the room, right?
Where?
It sits anywhere it wants.
That's true. Yep.
Right? So you want to get a harness on this thing. All I'm saying is picture this, right? You know, everywhere you go, you have this massive 800-pound gorilla with you. You know, it can crush people easily, right? You could say something to somebody and just crush them. You know, the 800-pound gorilla is a very dangerous beast because it only lives by those priorities. It doesn't care about anything else. So you know, you think you're doing well by it, by tricking somebody or by, you know, losing trust or treating somebody badly. You can't trick this thing. It's not possible.
Right. And the subconscious, so tapping into the subconscious is doing well for others is ultimately what you're saying.
Well, yeah, if you follow the priorities and then you cultivate the behaviors that feed the priorities, like picking up garbage is cultivating, you know, a behavior, right? You're just, everything around it feels good, right? When you tell somebody they're doing better, everything around it feels good. They feel good. You feel good. You know, you could do the exact opposite by telling them they shouldn't do it that way, or, you know, they've got to learn a different way, the way that you knew. And all of a sudden they don't even want to do it anymore.
Right. I love that. You know, I've never even thought about that. And what you've done right there has totally inspired a different way of thinking. It's, you know, like you said, it's that sort of that, the drug, the, I don't know if it's dopamine or what it is, but it's that feel good, you know, the feel good drug that's going through your body.
Well, I can share this with you for people to keep their eye on me because what's happening with the human brain right now is such a huge tsunami. People don't understand how massive it is. And I'm telling people, start making your boats right now. Start making your boats. Like get ready. Because the healthcare system is about to change. It's about to change in a massively radical way. And by using neuroscience now, we're able to patch, you know, EEG, right? And as soon as you can patch EEG, that means you can start looking at how you completely eliminate things like vertigo. Because if there's a space in between the conscious and subconscious brain and you can write the code to patch that, and then before the brain becomes conscious of its inability to do it, you give it a pulse of electricity, and all of a sudden the ailment you've been living with for your whole life goes away instantaneously.
Now, are you familiar with like these halo performance enhancement tools, right? You know, it's sort of a headset that gives electricity into your brain and or into your head. You know, who knows if it's going to your brain, but sort of doing the same type of stimulation. Are you familiar with those types of tools that are out there?
Yeah, they're not tools though. They're toys.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. That was my question. Is it a toy or a tool?
No, you need a very predictable three-dimensional environment to do the proper assessment of the brain. But we can assess the brain. It's getting to the point where, you know, how early can we assess a child to know whether they're going to be able to achieve certain heights. We're able to sort of minimize that group now. It's becoming very clear.
Which is crazy, which is unbelievable. It's like sort of knowing, do you want to know or do you don't want to know?
Well, that's becoming the question, right? Like, people behave in certain ways, unfamiliar ways, and they don't know why, but they justify it, right? And as soon as you start to justify something that's hurting other people, it's a very slippery slope, because people instinctively move away from you. Their subconscious brain goes, and they move away from you. They can't help it. And here's another thing about the brain. What we know now is once the brain knows better, and this is applicable to all of us as human beings, once the brain knows better, once I'm able to show people how the brain knows better, then what happens is they're all bound to do better. So the brain binds itself to do better, or it gets on a very slippery slope very fast. So you're either binding yourself to do better, or you're on a slippery slope, one or the other. And I prefer to be bound to do better. I found in my life that, you know, I was living at the pinnacle of professional sports, on the top line in the National Hockey League at one time, and I was never happy. You know, I could never be happy, and my self-image was owned by everybody else. The model was all messed up. And so, you know, part of my journey recovering from being paralyzed and learning how to function again, needed to incorporate the emotional part, or I was lost anyways.
Right. And you think you weren't happy because you didn't know that way to tap into your subconscious by doing good for others.
Well, I was taught to lose emotional control because I got patted on the back, and you know what I mean? It was part of the whole culture.
Right. Drive fast cars and go, and that's it.
Different rules. I wasn't learning the behaviors that I would need to move into society and to be a productive person and to be able to service society. I wasn't learning those things. It was actually the opposite. I was being destroyed bad enough so that they could keep me after my career ended. So that, you know what I mean? So the challenge with making changes at the NHL level is that 40% of the guys former players work for the NHL, and about 40% of them want to.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So out of the guys that retire from the NHL, they swallow them up and they keep them in that environment. And if you stay in that culture, then that culture, because it's based on ego, right? If you have a culture based on ego, then there's no real way to functionally change it to adapt to a high performance work culture. It will always be a controlling sort of different animal, right? And I tell people it's just two different economies. When you talk about business and when you talk about professional sports, it's just two different economies.
Yeah, but it sounds like to perform in both, though, it's very similar, correct?
Well, they just want to win, right? Because there's a time clock and there's boards. It's not about any long, there's no long-term sort of thinking process involved, right? There's a rotation period. They fire them and hire them, and they're rolling the dice. And so it's, you know, that part of it hasn't changed. What has changed in the NHL, though, and I really like this, is they're now, you know, giving the players a few supporters, like the JTF2, like our special forces have 5 supporters each. They're now incorporating that philosophy, for the young players. So I would have been helped greatly by that, when I was dropped in Los Angeles at 18. All they did in LA with me is I bought a Porsche, and then the head of security gave me a loaded .38 to keep under the seat of my car to protect myself. So that was the support that I got.
So what do you mean they have supporters now? They have people that, what, for emotional, physical, all that type of stuff? Talk to us a bit about that. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, every aspect. You're the center of, you're the patient right from the beginning, right? So you have your psychologist, you have your, you know, if you need a real estate agent, you have your business sector that somebody handles. So you have, you don't have to worry about anything anymore. You know, you're worth $1 million to them. So they want to take care of you if you're special forces, and that's the way to do it. Right. And so I'm brought in to remind them that the leaders care about them, and to open them up. And it works. The talks I've done for special forces, one talk I did, there's 300 operators, and 35 guys showed up at the CO's office within the next 48 hours to 35 guys, 10% of the audience, put their hand up to ask for help. And these are our elite soldiers.
Right. Well, doesn't the military or professional, like you said early on, they don't want you to be emotional, right? They want you to be a machine. and take out the whole emotional piece of it. Correct?
Well, that's changed. Well, that's changing. That's the way it used to be, but that's the change that I bring. So when you bring me in, that's the change that I bring with me, and it just changes.
Right. That is, that's special stuff.
Some entities take longer to change, but there has to be a willingness, right?
Yep.
So you need to have the willingness. So, and once you have that, we can assess it because we use technology to assess it, and that technology is getting faster and better. And so we're able to see a picture of the culture and exactly where the bottlenecks are and where the blockages are. And then we're able to manage those bottlenecks and blockages out.
Right. So if you were to talk to someone to do, you know, the first three things to do to become self-aware, to assess themselves and look at performance, what would you tell them?
Awareness is the first step in anything. When we teach, the way I describe the behaviors to you is in the order I learned them. Everybody learns them in a different order, but the way that the behaviors are taught is predictable.
And what is awareness? What's true awareness?
When you all of a sudden know that, to me, what you're doing is causing you harm and not helping you, right? So you're either helping yourself or you're hurting yourself. And it's important to know when you're doing both. And the culture can also help you and it can hurt you. But it's important that organizations know how to measure it. So all I'm introducing is the measuring tools for this stuff. It's not a question of whether they help us perform. The data piles up like crazy. What I'm providing is just a simple methodology, starting with awareness, and then goes to measurement, which is assessment, and then gives you the methodology. This isn't a consulting thing, it's a coaching exercise. If you want to change project to fail, hire a consultant.
So true, right? It is so true. No, you're looking at it from a totally different angle. And I think what I love, you know, some of your, you know, the tools that you're using, because I think that's different. Most people, you know, it's the same thing over and over again, right? And what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And fortunately or unfortunately, that's what's happening to so many systems. And in America, I think you look at Silicon Valley nowadays, or Canada, or you look at Silicon Valley, and you know, they're, some of these guys are sort of breaking the mold. You don't have to go to Stanford or Harvard or any of that anymore. You got to be, you know, you got to be you and leverage you. And I think that's, you know, that's the way careers are starting to happen. And if people are, you know, electricians, plumbers, coders, athletes, whatever you are, be authentic and be yourself. And I think that actually, you know, there's a lot of change that can happen right there. Like you said, be aware of who you are and what you do.
Well, that's the first step to get people to embrace it. And then you can tell them, then after that, once they get to know you, they have to like you. And then once they like you, then what I tell them is we have a technology being implemented, you know, in a state in the United States right now that bumps their performance using artificial intelligence by 6,000%.
Wow. That's amazing. That is
and so we're doing testing with this technology right now, and it should work in any association and company. And so we're going to be able to plug in performance applications that completely transform an organization, or at least let you see what the problem is, right? Because right now we can't see what the problem is, and that's the problem. So I just want to allow people to see what the problem is and do it through telling my story about, you know, living in a, you know, a gladiator world as a right-brained, high analytic.
Right. No, it makes sense. You know, you got to be aware of being aware too.
Yeah, well, if there's a genetic problem, and that's 15% of the population, you know, this won't, I'm not claiming it works for everybody, but it'll work for the people around you.
No, definitely. No, and this is good stuff. Doug, we're coming up on a half hour, 35 minutes already. We're banging this out.
Oh, my God. I could talk to you forever, Ken.
I'm sure. I love talking to you about this stuff because it's what floats, you know, I think probably a lot of the listeners, right, of thinking about how to do things differently. What's their approach to awareness? And I really love the fact that, you know, and I have never even thought about that, of doing good taps into your subconscious. And I think, you know, that's the one thing I'm probably going to take away from this the most. You know, the other stuff is amazing too, but it is that, it's sort of that rush you get when you do it. And if you live in that sort of mode of trying to help others to become better, and, you know, everyone says they do it, but do they really do it? And if you embrace that, you know, it's, I think it's game changer.
System438.com. You know, just go there and watch the video. And the video that I produce, the videos that I produce are my videos, and they come from the heart. And, you know, I do them in places where I grew up. And so the source of these videos and what I do today is based on feedback. And so feedback is lubricant for awareness. And I can show you if you bring me in and I'll share, but I need your feedback. So, you know, the people who are listening to this conversation right now, if you feel something inside, at least go to the website, you know, watch the 4-minute video, subscribe, and then we move forward together, because I'm going to be releasing, you know, the details and the scientific evidence to support this, because I know the next generation wants this information. They want the big picture. And I'm not going to be that 55-year-old guy holding them back. My job is to help them along. So, that's a mission of mine as well. So I really appreciate this platform.
No, and this is awesome. And you know what? And listen to the guy who's got the experience is really what it comes down to. And, you know, I think in today's world, everyone gets so enamored with the 22-year-old who's a billionaire. I'd rather take the experience from a guy like you that, you know, that's been there, that's lived it, that's gone through from being paralyzed to being fully functioning and back on skates and everything else. So, Doug, you're an absolute inspiration.
Well, I just want to say, Ken, this has been a very serious talk because it's 30 minutes to go at it. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of laughs. There's a lot of things that you'll see when I present that, you know, you do good for the world, number one, have fun, number two, right? Remember, you know, my wife and I, we've been together 31 years. We have kids. Our second child was born a week before I was paralyzed. And we, as a family, never stopped having fun, ever. And so through the pain and the heartache and the distress and the confusion, you know, we've held it together for 31 years because we kept having fun. So do good for the world, number one, right? Because we're, you know, this world is important. Have fun, number two, because if you're not having fun, you won't be motivated. You won't be able to get there. You won't be able to achieve your goals. And number three, make money. I mean, money is important, but remember that as soon as you make enough money to meet your basic needs, it will begin to demotivate you. We know, we look at the data on this. So meeting basic needs, yes, once you get there, then go help other people and your money will grow. And it won't be as hard. You won't have to worry about it. It will just grow. So I hope that helps your listeners, Ken. And I look forward to continuing this conversation. I'd be glad to come on and open up about what's going to happen in the next few months. It's very exciting stuff.
No, we'll do it again. We'll do it again. So they can find you at system438.com. Is that's the home of Doug Smith and your game changing methodology.
Yeah. Doug Smith NHL, you'll find me. And, you know, please through the website, reach out. And if you liked what I had to say, let's have a conversation. You know, change begins with a conversation. It doesn't begin with looking at your texts and your email. It begins with a conversation between two people. So I don't believe that will ever change. I'm not seeing any statistics to prove that it will. So, you know, that's one of the things that we need to pay attention to as well. So thanks a lot, Ken.
No, Doug, this was awesome. And if anyone has any questions, comments, feedback, concerns, or wants to get in touch with Doug, feel free to email at kenandexecutiveathletes.com or through Doug's website, system438.com. Doug, it was awesome to have you on.
Thanks a lot, Ken.
Perfect. And anyone who is out there this weekend, go out and crush it. Do better, be better. But like Doug says, do good for the world. Have a great weekend.